Josefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
All right, we're going with a new Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Do you have any issues with Tom Brady's post-Super Bowl celebration and the tossing of the Lombardi Trophy? I mean, it was over water, so the worst that's going to happen, it's going to hit water, and you know Gronk's going to have to dive down there and grab it, and I'm guessing that thing doesn't float, so you have to a Gronk dive, which I think would be pretty epic. Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, what, any issue with tossing the Super Bowl trophy around?
You know, he's acting like he has six other ones to fall back on. and you know, I thought it was pretty hilarious. And the crazy part about that is where they were in the water, it's 80 feet deep right there. So if that thing goes in, I don't know if a Gronk dive is even going to be able to save it.
I'm guessing you heard... I get the maker of the trophy. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm losing the name right now. The daughter was pretty upset. Thought it was a show of, and I guess the way I look at it, it's like at the end of the day, this is a game, and they're playing a game for a game's trophy. And you know, aside from taking a hammer to smashing it to pieces, I guess I just don't have that big of an issue with it.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it at all, especially because he caught it. Would have been a little more interesting if it did fall in the water. But so Brady, and I think it's a great power to play question. What is more disrespectful, I guess, to the people that think it's disrespectful? That, Tom throwing it, or Gronk using it as a baseball bat, as he did, and actually making a dent in it last year?
Right. And you know, and then the other people are talking about the Stanley Cup. I mean, I don't even want to know what's done with that. They seriously, like, some bad things happened to that poor cup.
Right. Tons of things poured in it.
Yeah. So anyway, people have to have something, I guess, to get going if it's a slow day in the news, which I didn't think that was possible anymore. Zach, my man. All right. So where are we? I want to spend some time with you today. I want to get some information about as far as free agents for the Broncos, bringing guys back every week. We get a little bit closer. But how do you feel if you're Drew Locke right now? I mean, some players are actively lobbying to get Deshaun Watson here. Some players are saying, oh, it'd be great to have him. And then some, like Dalton Reisner, they're saying the right things, but it's not like they're 100% going to bat for Drew Locke. Does he got to feel like he's alone on an island right now?
Yeah, it must be tough. And you hope for Drew's sake that he's not on Twitter, not seeing any of this, because you're absolutely right. It's really tough to defend Drew right now, especially when it's not just guys like you and I talking about it, Brady. It's his teammates, and Kareem Jackson is out there just openly trying to get Deshaun Watson to Denver. And now, when we talk about Deshaun Watson, Drew really shouldn't have his feelings hurt that bad, because, I mean, we're talking about a huge upgrade for, what, 80% of the NFL is what Deshaun Watson should be. So that shouldn't be too personal. But, Brady, what happens if Deshaun Watson is traded tomorrow to a team that's not the Broncos? Then do Kareem and these other teammates that have openly wanted Deshaun Watson, do they go and say, okay, let's get Dak Prescott in free agency? And does it keep going down this line? And then we have, you know, once the draft comes around, we have some veterans talking about how, you know, Mac Jones or Justin Fields would be great. Then that really is something that could impact the relationships there. But if Drew Locke does see this and hear about this, I hope he realizes just how much of an upgrade that Deshaun Watson would be. And, of course, as a competitor, I'm sure he doesn't like that. But, Brady, I think this is something that is interesting. You typically don't have teammates openly campaigning for other players, especially at the quarterback position.
No, it's just nuts, right? And yeah, you said at the quarterback position, it's one thing to say, you know, we want another running back, we want another cornerback. Okay, well, that's not necessarily replacing you, as we saw with Melvin
right.
Gordon. We're going to split carries, and ultimately there is no true number one, however you want to look at that. But yeah, this is what's difficult, and this is why this job's unlike anything else. Imagine if you or I were at work and our coworkers were constantly saying, hey, we want to bring in a better talker, a better writer, and you got to go about your business as if it doesn't make you want to cry every single night.
Right, and I heard someone use a similar analogy, and I can't forget who, so I'm sorry for that. But they said something like, you know, if someone wanted to bring in, you know, Scott Van Pelt to replace me, and my company was talking about that, you know, it doesn't make you feel good, but you're like, okay, well, at least they're replacing me with, you know, maybe the biggest name out there or something like that. But what if my company starts openly talking about bringing in, you know, Joe down the street? And then you're like, whoa, okay. Now, you know, I could understand bringing in Peter King to replace me or something, but now you're talking about Joe down the street. That doesn't feel good. So, you know, I hope Drew kind of has that outlook on this. But, Brady, what happens when, you know, Kareem Jackson and the Broncos are talking to, you know, the Andy Daltons of the world to come in and replace right. him? That's when he's probably thinking, oh, my gosh, Joe down the street. What? Now I'm really disrespected.
All right, Zach. So all this talk, you know, whether it's Deshaun, and I get it. I mean, if you have an opportunity, I've been pretty vocal about it. I think it's too high of a price, but whatever. It would be big news. It would be exciting news for sure. But the rest of the quarterback scene is interesting to me. And I guess I find myself stepping back and going, and I wanted to get your take on this. Brett Rippon, are we completely convinced that Brett Rippon wouldn't be a good backup quarterback? Or is that, did we see enough where we said, you know what, I just don't know that this guy has it? Because he was really good for Boise State. His last year wasn't maybe the greatest, but he was still pretty good overall. And I didn't think he was terrible with his opportunities last season.
No, he certainly wasn't. I mean, he got 20% of the Broncos' wins for them last year, and he only got one start. So he was a perfect one for one, and I'm right there with you. I think Brett Rippon is a good backup in the NFL and will be that throughout his career. So when we talk about bringing in another guy, whether it's to compete with Drew or be the guy, it's not to replace Brett Rippon. It's you don't really think Brett Rippon is a starter in the NFL. So when you look at guys who you're going to bring in, you're thinking, can this guy be a starter in the NFL? Now, there's some short-term answers like the Andy Dalton that I talked about. He's a free agent this year, the Ryan Fitzpatrick short-term answer. And then there's guys that maybe have a little bit longer of a career and more hope that they could turn into the guy, not just be a starter, such as a Jameis Winston, who could be a free agent if the Saints don't sign him. And then you also talk about Gardner Minshew, trading for him potentially. A lot of people will debate on his ceiling, but he's been a pretty good quarterback when he's had his chances. So the Broncos are going to have to decide which route they want to go down. But, Brady, I totally agree with you about Brett Rippon. I would feel very comfortable as him being a true backup.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. How about the other side? Of course, Justin Simmons, that's a big name. Shelby Harris, Von Miller, Philip Lindsay. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on. Where are we now at this stage? How do we feel about Justin Simmons? Are we feeling pretty good that a deal's going to get done and Simmons is a long-term Bronco?
Yeah, once they hired George Payton, it really seemed like the momentum had shifted with Justin Simmons. I mean, Justin Simmons was saying his goodbyes 1 month ago when John Elway was still the general manager. And literally hours later, John Elway had stepped away from the general manager position into his elevated role, giving control to George Payton. And with George Payton, he made it very clear throughout this past month that he wants to keep his own players. And specifically when asked about Justin Simmons, he said he made it very clear that they don't want to let good players leave. So there is optimism there. Now is when the negotiating starts. And I imagine that this negotiating will probably take place closer to when free agency starts, starting now until free agency starts March 17th. I would expect really in the beginning of March is when things will heat up with Justin Simmons. But the question will be, okay, George, you said you really like Justin Simmons. You want to keep the good players around. That totally makes sense. But you want to reset the safety market for Justin Simmons, because I think that's what Justin's going to want. At the end of the day, if John Elway was the general manager, I don't think Justin Simmons would be around long term. With George Payton, I don't think one of his first moves is going to be coming in and saying goodbye to Justin Simmons. So I do think a long-term deal gets worked out.
Yeah, no, I know Broncos. I mean, it'd be huge because assuming they figure out everything with Kareem Jackson and pick up that option, I don't know if they'll, in your, you know, what they're going to end up doing there, getting him to go down a bit. But I mean, I think they have one of the best safety duos in the NFL, if not darn close.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And Kareem Jackson is actually the sneaky question mark. that comes into this conversation, because Kareem Jackson has certainly lived up to the contract that he signed on the field. In his 2 years with the Broncos, he's been everything that they wanted and more. But is George Payton going to be okay spending $25 million with their two safeties this year when you have a guy like Will Parks that you could sign up for a one- or two-year deal at, you know, just a couple million bucks? And if it comes down to it, who would George Payton rather have if he has to decide between Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson? Well, he's probably going to choose the younger Justin Simmons, and then that's where Kareem Jackson's option really becomes interesting. Now, that's, again, why I expect Kareem Jackson's option not to be picked up until later in the process. They have until March 16th to do that. But as a player, of course you want Kareem Jackson back. But with the salary cap being tighter this year because of COVID, it wouldn't shock me if Kareem isn't back on the price tag he's on. Now, maybe what you can do with Kareem is come at him with an extension, a 2 or 3 year extension in order to get that number down. But also, you're talking about a 33-year-old, so there's risk there too.
Yeah, no, that one's certainly going to be interesting to watch how that one, both sides on the safety side, play out. How about Shelby Harris? I loved watching him this season. I thought I was pretty pumped that they ended up picking him up later last year, and I think he made the Broncos look good for doing so. Do you see him in a Broncos uniform next year?
Yeah, I think so, and I think it comes at the expense of Jarrell Casey, because Jarrell Casey right now, the Broncos can move on from him and save over $10 million in salary cap without a single dollar of dead money. I love the Broncos bringing in Jarrell Casey last year, but now you have to decide between keeping Jarrell Casey, an older guy that you only got to see 3 games in last year, and was coming off of arguably his worst year in a couple of years with the Titans when you brought him here last year, or Shelby Harris, the younger player that is still peaking. He is playing his best ball of his career. And ultimately, I think the Broncos move on from Jarrell Casey, or I think they could try to offer him a cheaper salary, but he may say thanks, but no thanks, and move on. And then you take that money you were going to pay Jarrell Casey and give most of it to Shelby Harris. So you could be looking along the lines of a 3-year, $30 million deal, 3-year, $27 million deal for Shelby Harris, but I do think that gets done.
Let's go over to the offensive side of the ball. Philip Lindsay, and I know we've talked so much about Philip Lindsay. You know, you hear the rumors in the offseason. Elway taught, well, I guess Elway said it. We're going to try to get a deal done with Lindsay long term, take care of him. Well, not only did they not get a deal done, they bring in Melvin Gordon and they give him quite a bit of money. And here we are. There's an option up for Philip Lindsay. What do you see? Do the Broncos do anything here? What do you ultimately see for number 30 in Denver?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking disrespectful to start this this interview earlier with Tom Brady throwing the trophy. Philip Lindsay has been disrespected this past year, or at least that he feels like he's been very disrespected. And so what the Broncos have with him, he's a restricted free agent. So that means that they get to decide whether they want to put a tender on him. And there's a couple of options they can do. They can do it in what's called an original round tender, which will pay him around $2 million, and he can go and negotiate with other teams as a restricted free agent. If another team signs him, the Broncos will have an opportunity to match that deal. But if he signs somewhere else on an original round tender, the Broncos won't get anything in return. Or the Broncos can put a second round tender on him, which will cost them about $3.5 million. Or they can put a first round tender on him, which will cost them about $4.5 million for this season. And he can go negotiate with other teams in free agency under those deals. But if he were to sign with another team, then that team would have to give up either a first or a second round pick for Philip Lindsay. So to me, this boils down to something very simple. If the Broncos put an original round tender on Philip Lindsay, meaning they get nothing in return if he signs somewhere else, then he will be gone. If they put a second or first round tender on him, which I wouldn't imagine they put a first round, I imagine it'll be a second round tender on him, then he'll be back for one more year for $3.5 million. Brady, if it's me, this is very, very simple. You put a second-round tender on Philip Lindsay, see how he does this year. If he is in your long-term plans, you can sign him to a long-term deal. But I'm not letting Phil Lindsay walk this year. He's been too good, and especially with Melvin Gordon potentially being suspended for 3 games, you can't really let him leave.
Yeah, well, and he's recently been kind of vocal about, not necessarily Pat Shurmur, I guess, but about the offense and how to utilize him at his height and size. And I, you know what, I think he's spot on talking about, you know, what are you doing running me up the gut, third and inches? Like, that's not the kind of back that I am. I still have a lot of question marks around Pat Shurmur and how he utilized both Philip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. Even though Gordon was really good in the back half of the season, I still had my concerns as far as how Shurmur addressed the run game. So we'll see if maybe they've all learned something from it, and they can be better for next season. Zach, we went through the gamut, man. Always appreciate you running through this with us. And what are you working on for us, man, that we can check out in the next couple of days?
Oh, man, just checking out all the options the Broncos can make, and at quarterback specifically. But then how does that impact the rest of the team? Because, Brady, we talked about it, how much they're going to have to give up to get Deshaun Watson. Okay, how does that shift the team? And then also, what if it is a free agent route? What if it's a Dak Prescott and it costs you $40 million? How's that going to impact the rest of the way this team is built?
Yeah, no, there's so many question marks out there with what this market's going to do. Free agency, trade, all that, man. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. Zach, appreciate you as always, my friend. And hey, we'll see where we are this time next week.
I'm sure there'll be some shake. Brady, always love the conversation.
I love it, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Excellent. All right, a new Power to Play Sports poll question. I am shocked with you, Hooligans. I thought you were more disrespectful than this. Do you have any issues with Tom Brady's post-Super Bowl celebration and tossing the Lombardi trophy? 80% of the Hooligans say yes. You guys have an issue with this. Where are my disrespectful Hooligans? Go to thewholeshow.com. You're Hooligans. You're not church choir boys. You're Hooligans. I need more than 20% of you saying, I don't have any issues. Go to thewholeshow.com and vote. I'm floored by this. All right, Colfax, we're way overdue. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.